International.
Thousands of people across the Northeast have been shocked and saddened by the death of Alan Howe on Friday night. Alan was a regular visitor to Radio Newcastle, and we were always delighted to see him. Not only was he one of the most talented singer-songwriters to come out of the Northeast, but he was also a caring and compassionate man, and someone who always had time for a chat if you bumped into him in the street. For the next hour, we're paying tribute to Alan Howe. He was destined to be a musician, even if only to keep up with a couple of his boyhood heroes who went to the same school as him.
When rock and roll came along, there was a big sea change in my life, and the school I went to, which was Rutherford Grammar School then, was two blokes went. One was called Bruce Cripps, the other one was Brian Rankin, who became Hank Marvin and Bruce Welch.
Oh.
And that was something to live up when you're 11 years, up to when you're 11 years old, you know. And it was getting your guitar out in the changing rooms, and Rutherford became like a hotbed of kids playing guitar. A lot of people went into the business from my age group then, trying to emulate the Shadows, and who'd actually gone to your school. I mean, Hank got his name, a nickname at school. He was Brian Rankin, but he was called Hank because he always had a guitar with him, and he used to like Hank Williams, and his nickname was Hank. Oh, here comes Hank with his guitar, which is a bit of a piss take at first, you know, but then and when he went to the 2 hours and became serious, everybody started to think, wow, well, maybe I can do that. And that's really how it started.
On leaving school, Alan became very much involved in the blossoming Northeast music scene, spurred on by the success of the Animals, and ended up playing with various local bands, including the Chosen Few.
Well, actually, it was bands in the mid-60s after I left school. It seems a long time ago now, as I suppose I am getting on. But it was bands, you know, rock and roll bands. We did try to do American music, and I started to write my own songs because I thought that was the way forward. The biggest band that I was in was called The Chosen Few. We used to play at a club called the Club of Go-Go, for those who can remember it. The other resident band there was The Animals in a band called The Jungle Partners. And that's basically where I got the itch, you know, to start doing live music, rock and roll, folk music.
Having played at different folk clubs with different bands and even played a series of sessions on Radio Luxembourg, Alan decided it was time to run his own venue and joined up with a friend of his called Dave Wood.
Well, Dave Wood used to hang around with the Chosen Few, and he used to take some photographs. And he came to London with us and he saw, for the first time, as did we, a real recording studio. And he had this idea of doing one himself. Why not? So he got this place in Wall's End, which later became Impulse Studio, which started in 1967, I believe, and has been going strong ever since, and he's still there. He became my manager, and by then the band had broken up. And I was basically on my own with Dave. And the pair of us, I think, had the idea of, well, I started playing folk clubs, and I thought, well, why, you know, you got your studio, why don't we have a folk club together, which we did. We got together in the Rex Hotel in Whitley Bay, in the Cafe Room, which holds about 300, you know. And, like, we used to have it every Sunday night, and we used to fill the place every Sunday night. We used to fill it, you know, like, set up a good PA system there, and I used to be the sort of MC. And it gave me a chance to do new songs, because I was writing furiously then. And I used to get good bands, you know, like GSD band from Scotland, Rab Noggs, Al Stewart. We had the Humble Bums, which is Jerry Rafferty and Billy Connolly for 30 quid. Maybe about 30 million now. But that was that in Ralph Martel. And that was, the, you know, was trying to keep a high standard of guests, you know, and pay them, you know, as much as we could, which I think was about 50 quid in those days. And the rest went to me and Dave for the running of the place.
In those early days, when he was playing solo, Alan regularly supported another local band called Brethren. Sometimes they supported him, depending who got booked first. It became a permanent arrangement in 1969. They played their first official gig at the Rex Hotel in Whitley Bay. But problems were brewing across the Atlantic, where another band called Brethren said they didn't want rivals with the same name. So it was back to the drawing board for a new name.
There was an American band called Brethren, so I had to change the name. And it was John Anthony, who was the producer of the first album, just said, write some names down from where you come from. So we just wrote a whole list, you know, the dodgy things like Two Ball On and Dog Leap Stairs, you know, Amen Corner, things that everybody does. And we put Lindisfarne on, and he said, what's this Lindisfarne thing? And I said, well, it's a holy island, isn't it? It's up on the north coast. He said, that's your name? And that's a pretty good choice.
So, Lindisfarne were born, and within a couple of years, they achieved superstar status with their own brand of good time pub rock. Their album, Fog on the Tyne, went to the top of the album charts, and sales of Newcastle Brown Ale shot up.
bar socket, square sausage. Slip it down slowly.
All of the time is all mine, all mine. All of the time is all mine. All of the time is all mine, all mine. All of the time is all mine.
Couldn't come to catch a crooked cuff and make a crooked cuff a comprehend. That a crooked cuff and make us just an undertaker, a one it takes to be a friend.
All of the time is all mine, all mine. All of the time is all mine.
Colchester, William Shakespeare. We can sit together, we can have a wee wee. If someone slips a whisper, that is persistent.
Cause the part of the time is all mine, all mine. Part of the time is all mine. Part of the time is all mine, all mine. Part of the time is all mine.
Time, the title track from the album that established Lindisfarne as the next supergroup to come out of the Northeast. But Alan and the band were out of the country when they heard the news that they were sitting at the top of the album charts.
Well, we were stuck in a bar in New York, and we got, in those days, a cablegram or something saying, congratulations, you're number one, we're all having a champagne party in the Charisma Record offices. So what do we do? You know, we're left alone, and the five of us and the roadie, you know, Fred Munt. And we clubbed together. I remember we got this few cents we had in our pockets, and a couple of dollars, and we managed to buy one bottle of Macho's Rosie between us, and that was our celebration. And that night we had playing some college somewhere, with very few people there, and no attention paid at all. But we made up for it when we got back, because they're all waiting, the whole team were waiting, and we whisked off to a hotel, had a great big party, the Clive Hotel, I think it was, in Amsterdam. Stayed the night, and all the white girls came down, the wives and girlfriends. We just had a wahoo. It was great, you know. It was a bit unnerving at times, you know, like walking to a pub and then people staring at you, and then going to a pub and then every other tune's meet me on the corner, or Lady Eleanor on the jukebox. And I always like to get out and see bands, you know. I still used to go to folk clubs, but I had to stop going because I used to walk to a folk club and somebody would be doing the act. You know, the whole place would go quiet and they'd all stare at the door that I'd walked in, you know. So it was pretty embarrassing for the artist who was performing, you know? So I used to have to stop doing that for a few years anyway. It's all right now. People just laughing now.
So a top-selling album featuring many of Alan's songs. Fog on the Tyne, of course, is regarded now as something of a Geordie anthem, ranking alongside The Blade and Races. Alan wrote it on top of a bus, but admits that songwriting didn't always come easy.
It's like a craft that you have to learn, you know. I'm lucky because I started early, you know. I started when I was 12, and I kept at it, you know. I mean, the first 5 or 6 years was just bilge, it was rubbish. And then when, you know, you learn from other people, I learned a lot from John Lennon and Bob Dylan and Randy Newman, you know, how to look at styles and how to craft your own style. And if you work hard enough at it, it comes, you know. And I think I've got an Alan Hull style. And I work it, you know. I use it as much as I can. And lately, I've been co-writing as well, which is refreshing for me. You know.
Is it a discipline? I mean, do you have to set aside time to do it, it's not just I feel a song coming on?
No, it's merely discipline. Somebody once said it's 5% inspiration and 95% perspiration. And I think that's what it is. I mean, you do get your odd flashes. I wrote Fog on the Tyne on top of a bus when it had stopped for 10 minutes with the change of drivers, and I wrote it from top to bottom in my head and just scribbled it down when I got back home, thinking nobody's going to want to hear that one.
And yet something you might have slaved away at really means very little to...
After that, I'm running for home took us about 5 months.
Really?
Yeah, on and off, you know. I had the chorus early and I couldn't get the... I just kept going back to it and back to it and back to it and scrapping it and scrapping it and changing it and changing it. And in the end, when I'd finished, I thought, well, that's it, I'm not going to do it again. I put it away in a drawer and never thought about it again. And it was actually Ray Laidlaw who saw a list of songs and says, what's that one? I says, oh, I don't want to play that one, I'm sick of it. It's not very good anyway. So he insisted I played it and it became a hit single. So it's tricky. You just never know.
Yeah.
With a special tribute to Alan Howell this Monday afternoon here on Radio Newcastle. As with many songwriters, Alan's inspiration came from the things around him, the people, the places, and the things he read. Lady Eleanor became one of Lindisfarne's most popular songs.
I was living in Lawfell at the time, in a nice flat with my wife and three children, and just going into my bedroom and writing songs, and I was reading a lot of stuff then, but I'd just been introduced to a writer called Edgar Allan Poe, and some a guy called Colin Gibson gave me this book called Tales of Mystery and Imagination, and I used to absorb myself in that and get off on flights of fantasy, which is basically what the way he writes, and it's gothic sort of prose, you know. So I try to put that gothic prose into poetry and with a tune, and it's basically a mishmash of three of Edgar Allan Poe's stories. Fall of the House of Usher. I think there's one actually called Lygia. There's another one called Berenice. And I named one of my daughters Berenice. And I wrote a poem called Lygia. And I wrote Lady Eleanor. So Edgar Allan Poe, man, he was potty. I think it captures something the way the band did it, the way the band recorded it. It's somebody once said, a Northumbrian poet said, it reminded him of the mists over the Cheviots, you know. It's one of those imagery things, you know. And when people have asked us for years what it's about, and I really don't have a clue. And it's just an image, a poem, you know. It's just a tone poem of imagery.
On the floor, belly dancing beauty with a power-driven soul. Had my share of nightmares, didn't think it'd be much more. In my project, gotta with the Lady Eleanor. She tied my eyes with ribbons, was struck a ghostly thread. I gazed in troubled vision on an awful poster bed. Well, and all I'd risen to kiss the neck below my head. Come along with her to the land of the dancing dead. But it's alright, Lady Eleanor. Alright, Lady Eleanor. I'm alright where I am. Love and beauty, like a mother to her son, like living, dying, seeing, being all rolling on. All at once I heard some music in my bones. The singer's on her knees, my
Eleanor, one of the few Lindisfarne songs that have been covered by other artists.
There's not been a lot because they're so personalised.
Yeah.
There was a wonderful Italian version of Lady Eleanor by Caterina Casalini, and it had strings on, and she sang Lady Eleanor. It was wonderful. And there was an American version by a band called American Gypsy, and they did it like Barry White, really funky.
Oh, of Lady Eleanor?
Yeah.
Hmm? Oh, she beautiful. Yeah, you've got all these, have you?
Oh, yeah. I love that one.
Is that on the jukebox?
No, because I've lost it. I would put it on the jukebox.
You're quite a political person, too, aren't you?
Just a bit. I try to help the people. I believe in people. I mean, you see it in the songs. You know. To me, politics are people. Ordinary people, real people. People where I come from. I just try to do it that way, and I try to help the community I live in. So, I've always done that in my adult life. Not for any glorification or anything, it's just something I feel I need to do.
It's instinctive?
Yeah, it's instinctive. I always feel for the underdog,
You've travelled around the world a fair bit with the band. I mean, you did an unusual concert, I think, in Russia, didn't you?
Yeah, that was just before the coup. And I always wanted to go there, Mistake me or not, admire the political system. I thought I'd go and see for myself, this is the real workers' paradise. Got there and I found out the workers' paradise was a toilet. But we played in Minsk to 25,000 kids in aid of the children of the Chernobyl disaster. I think there should be more publicity about it because it really is a serious problem. It could be the end of the world, if that thing goes up again because the sarcophagus is cracking. I'm not quite sure what to do. But there's been a spate of leukemia type illnesses from Chernobyl up, right up through Ukraine, Kiev, and right up to Minsk, which is only 200 miles away, and there's still disease there now. So we did a show there, and it was fantastic. 25,000 people in the Minsk football stadium. It just went wally because I'd never seen anything like it before. There's a few bands on, but Lindisfarne are fairly practiced at this kind of gig. We know exactly what to do, and we gave them six now. And we became like the toast of Minsk, They called me the Ai-Ai men, because there was someone called Ai-Ai-Ai-Ai. It was a fascinating experience. I'd love to go back when I get myself sorted out, please, Mr. Yeltsin.
Of course, Alan's political views were well known at home. He hated what was happening to his home city of Newcastle.
All Fall Down, and another one I wrote called Down the Plan, which went on the square, were about what was happening in early 70s Newcastle, late 60s, early 70s. But probably happening in the rest of the country as well, but to me, particularly Newcastle, because it's my town, And I saw it being ravaged, I saw it being torn apart in the name of modernisation. There's the T. Dan Smith era, and the new Brasilia of the North. Nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with progress, nothing wrong with, redeeming things. But to just flatten it and build a motorway right through the middle, And all those wonderful buildings that came down on Percy Street. It made me and a lot of other people very, very angry. And I joined this group called SOCEM, which was Save Our City from an Environmental Mess. Interesting bedfellows, like right-wing Tories, farmers, left-wing socialists, ordinary people, housewives. And at least we tried. And that was my bit of graffiti for it. It was all Fall Down. I think because of it. We'd always been political, but then it was had the chance to get the political ideas out because we had power in the sense that we're shifting records, and so the record company was going to an extent backed us up on that. But it became even. I remember we did Top of the Pops, All Fall Down was they'd gone at the top 40. Normally that's automatic. In those days, you get Top of the Pops. We actually did. We filmed Top of the Pops. And it was number 33, I think, which, and it was never put on, never put out. Somebody at the BBC in those days must have felt that, why is it not put out because of the political content, because maybe it might upset a few people in the establishment. That's just me saying this, I don't know anything, I haven't any concrete evidence, but it does make me think.
Counselors, magistrates, men of renown, who need
means to live in a dirty old town. Yes, gone, tear it down. Who needs the trees and the flowers to grow? We can have a mortal way with mortal way to go. I know, I know, I know they've got to go. Tear them down, mess them around, make a mockery of all of the ground. And if you will have a sleepless night, just count out your money, it'll be alright. Politicians, planners, go look what you've done. Your madness is making a machine of everyone. One day the machine might turn on.
And All Fall Down. Now, one of the band's wilder tours was to Australia in the early 70s with 12-bar hero Status Quo and the relatively new pop band Slade, managed by fellow Geordie Chas Chandler, the former bass player with the Animals.
Australia was Status Quo, Slade, Lindisfarne and Camel. It was a hoot. It was about the wildest thing I've ever come across in my life, you know, so far. So it was all good fun, you know. There's nothing nasty about it at all. It was all hijinks. Lads who'd made it could play a bit, could get off on stage and, you know, entertain 200,000 people and then get off stage and, like, party, you know, basically. I remember one night, I think it was Chaka and Noddy Holder. I'd been partying so much that the organisers very kindly took us round McKinley's champagne factory and very kindly gave us lots of Australian champagne and they laid a bus on and all that. Of course, it became like a trip bus coming back, and in the back of harmonica was out and Noddy and Jack were singing their little heads off. The next day they lost their voices. I mean, it was that kind of tour, you know. The headline in the Australian sort of News of the World, whatever it's called, was English pop stars cause mayhem over New Lorba Desert or something like that. Well, I think we're banned from that airline for life. But it wasn't me, Your Honour. It wasn't me at all. It was other members of other groups.
And shortly after returning from Australia, the band began to think about splitting up.
The music was suffering as well. You know, we weren't trying on stage because you couldn't hear anything because people were shouting and screaming. It wasn't anything like the Beatles, but it was close on a smaller scale. We had police protection in Glasgow. I mean, I remember one gig in Watford, and I just stopped playing because I couldn't hear anything. My wife lost her wedding ring, which made us furious. So I thought, what's all this about? Don't need it, you know.
Of course, the Lindisfarne Christmas concerts at Newcastle City Hall became legendary. They started off by accident. The band were loath to let their friends in to see them for nothing, so they put them behind on the stage itself, and it sort of grew from there. The band still holds the record for consecutive nights at the City Hall, 12 in all, beating David Bowie into second place.
Thank you.
Christmas. Fancy having a party? Well, this song's about a party that actually took place. You've heard it before. It's a true story, way back in the mists of time. 1969 in the celestial city of Newcastle upon Tyne. Reggae! 1990! No one to complain. Just pass a little bit of time, play some human games. Some were smoking, roll your own, others they had none. But everybody was holding hands, singing this little song. We can't sway together, cause we feel we're going to ride. We can't sway together, we can't swing all through the night. Alright! It was a screeching of brakes, dogs barking outside, and a hammering on the door. And the voice of a fisherman saying, open in the name of the Lord. We just kept on drinking, singing this song some more. Sick! We can't sway together, cause we feel we're going in right. We can't sway together, we can't swing all through the night. Reggae guitar! And the ransacked ever dead. Stood us all against the wall, the faces split with grins, and they linked each other's handcuffs, and a merrily began to sing. Sing! We can't sway together, cause we feel we're moving right. We can't sway together, we can't swing all through the night. All right! I'll have to send you all to jail for doing this terrible thing. As I walk down to the south, swear I heard him sing, sing. We can't sway together, how's it feel we're doing it right? We can't sway together, we can't swing all through the night. Come on! We can't sway together, cause I feel we're doing it right. We can't sway together, we can't swing all through the night. Keep swinging! For those watching on radio, the entire city hall is swinging their arms in the air. It's not fair. Well, I come from the land of down under. We can't sway together, cause we feel we're doing it right. We can't sway together, we can't swing all through the night. Come on! We can't sway together, cause we feel we're doing it right. Swing City Hall!
Tremendous Fun, recorded live at Newcastle City Hall back in 1990. I think it's fair to say Alan was very proud of Lindisfarne putting the North East on the map, and it came along at the sort of time when people were watching the Likely Lads on television, and series like When the Boat Comes In, too.
It did. Australia, it had been. Hmm? It become, they just sort of realised there's something happening here. Of course, always had been, always will be. But London's a long way away, you know, and I don't understand.
Did you ever find, as a band in the early days, that you had problems because you weren't from London?
Yeah, yes and no. The positive side of it was, when we first got there and we first got a record deal, Ray Laidlaw kept all the photographs, and I had a look at them. I mean, we do look like five mad things come from the north. Five mad Celts, you know, with long hair, strange hats, big cowboy boots, beards, and a very, very strange accent, which to them probably sounded a bit aggressive, you know. So that was a positive side, because it was something entirely fresh, something they'd never seen. You know, even the animals were cleaned up and things, you know, we weren't, you know, we were pretty rough. And we spoke our minds, you know, we didn't want to toe any sort of corporate line. So in a sense, that was a positive side of it. The negative side of it was we didn't go out with posh tarts, you know, and go around the clubs and get photographs taken, sort of go on the Sun newspaper and all that. So we didn't go down the Rod Stewart line. It's probably bad for business, but there you go.
The last time I personally had a long conversation with Alan was just over a year ago here at Radio Newcastle, when he came in to chat about a solo CD that he made called Back to Basics, which was basically Alan Hull unplugged and contained various different versions, acoustic versions of songs that we all know and love, and some new tracks too. And he brought in a demo copy, and a couple of days later I got a little note in the post from him with a copy of the CD and a little note which I've got in front of me here now, just saying, enjoyed the show, cheers Alan. I said to him at the time I thought it was the nicest track on it, and he seemed pleased about that, and I thought it would be nice to hear it again this afternoon, called This Heart of Mine.
Numbers sail the ocean at the age of 17, and he must have had a vision, and he must have had a dream. The wise men and the prophets, frozen in their ways, try to turn him back again. It's a way of saving faith. So they sent him out a message, and the message was so clear: if you go chasing rainbows, you're not welcome here. And I heard he was a bad man, finger in the pie, but they knew he'd be home again. There was something in his eyes, and I have seen a veil of darkness coming across the sky, rising in the east where the sun used to shine. Just when I get to thinking it's all been a waste of time, the most beautiful thing in the world cuts this heart of mine. Poor old Mother Russia couldn't keep her children fed. When she saw she couldn't feed them, she walked the streets instead. So Boris built a castle with Joseph on the door, to try to erase the memory that their mother was a whore. And the poor are always with us, I heard somebody say. No matter how much you feed them, they'll still be underfed. One thing to remember, when even in the score, that there are none so equal as those who are so poor. And I have seen a veil of darkness coming across the sky, rising in the east where the sun used to shine. Just when I get to thinking it's all been a waste of time, the most beautiful thing in the world cuts this heart of mine. Now you may be a sailor or the pilot of a plane, risking your life and everything for fortune and for fame. You're the kind of prophet to put the world to rights, but the trouble with your vision is keeping it inside. And I have seen a veil of darkness coming across the sky, rising in the east where the sun used to shine. Just when I get to thinking it's all been a waste of time, the most beautiful thing in the world cuts this heart of mine. The most beautiful thing in the world cuts this heart of mine.
This heart of mine. Of course, as we said, he's been a regular on Radio Newcastle over the years. One of his last interviews was with Julia Hankin just 3 weeks ago, when he told Julia about his new project working with Dave Denham.
Well, I don't know what happened about it. Last year, at the end of last year, he started, he's just driving the van. It's just a new guy driving the van. And he was looking after the guitars, and then he asked us if he could join in and work through the songs with the band. And I said, yeah, why not? Because what he's doing was quite good. Then he joined in with quite a lot, and he was sort of in the band, and I thought, well, I've got this solo work to do and a new album coming out, so why don't you just have a little shot at it, you know? It's just something like that, quite naturally, like things do. It's been great. It's working very well, yeah. It's working great.
Now, it's been a big year for Lindisfarne. You had your anniversary concert at the City Hall, but it does sound, from what we've heard so far, that you're really fired up with all of the solo stuff. Is that what you're putting all your energies into?
I am next year, yeah, because I'm doing the album in November, and it's coming out early spring next year, and I'll be doing a big tour with Dave right across the country, and then after that, going to the States, because I've got an offer for touring the States as well. Because the album will be coming out there at the beginning of next year.
And is it this title that we've heard, Still Lazy, well, after all these years?
No, I keep chasing my mind. I'm thinking about calling it The Dark Side of the Tune now.
Alan talking with Julia just a few weeks ago. And speaking personally, it was always a joy to bump into Alan at various do's and chat about music. We both shared a love of the American songwriter Randy Newman, used to chat about his songs. And like me, Alan was a huge Beatle fan. He was a great John Lennon fan. He loved John Lennon. And I was talking, actually, on the phone this morning with Ray Laidler. And I was saying to Ray, it struck me It's very sad that Alan didn't live to hear the new Lennon song, Free as a Bird. I'm sure he'd have been very excited to listen in this morning and hear the new Beatles song. Ray reckons he probably wouldn't have liked it. And just finally back to that conversation I had with Ray Laidler this morning. And Ray was telling me that just a few weeks back, the last time he and Alan had a big night out, they went to see Ray Davis of the Kinks, who was again another of Alan's big heroes, at the Customs House in Mill Dam. And Ray, on behalf of the band Lindisfarne, would like us to dedicate this final song to Alan. So it's from Lindisfarne to Alan. And I think I speak on behalf of everybody in the Northeast when I say, Alan Howe, we'll miss you.
daddy is very wealthy, and that he owns Hopper Town. And wish my old man worked for Hopper Crown. Now we're 5 days a week. Who was too tired in the night to speak about the things in his head? Oh, I know, what does money mean anyway? I've got more than all that. I can smile when it's rainy day. I can see what's behind the big money game they almost play. Anna, it's not too easy to play the game when you know the rules are fixed in favor of the man who has some golden cufflinks for his silken shirt and who never sees the dead. Oh, Anna, what does money mean anyway? I've got more than all. What's behind the big money game they almost play? Oh, Anna, I don't give a damn if your daddy cannot see me for the things I really am. And I don't mind if your mummy and her kind don't like my hair. I don't care because it's you that's on my mind. Oh, Anna, what does money mean anyway?
Slightly introduce my wife on the bass, yeah? So Brian Brocklehurst.
Sorry about that.
This next song is my way of getting back at the weather.
Because I hate the sun, man. Everybody in Newcastle hates the sun. We're not used to it. It's not British. It's not Geordie.
This is a song deliberately, especially for him, who brought this with us, called January Song.
I'm feeling rather sorry for a man I know. The world he holds in trembling hands is asking where to go, and as he stares out at me from the mirror wall, I see that he is trying to cry, but the tears they will not fall. His life is passing by behind his tired eyes like the color. Concerning the past, in it lies the future, and everything it all can last. And speaking now of changes, I sometimes feel the fear that the reason for the meaning will even disappear. such a small world, but something it is so vast. But in it lies the future, the present and the past. And just as sure as tomorrow will soon be yesterday, the love you thought you occupied will surely drift away. But I still need you to help me carry on. You need me, need you, need him, need everyone. You need me, need you, need him, need everyone. You need me, need you, need him, need everyone. You need me, need you, need him, need everyone. You need me, need you, need him, need everyone.
January song, and many thanks to Alan Hull.
In the oven.
My favourite among all Alan's songs, Winter Song, and I'd like to thank him for joining us tonight. That's on his first album, Way Back. We've already mentioned next week.